Hi, and welcome to Codependent. I'm Lake. I'm joined by my mom, Nancy. Say hi, Mom.
Hi, everybody.
And we're just here to make a fun podcast. Tune in weekly to see what's going on with us and what we think about random pop culture and politics. Hope you enjoy. Okay, we're back. Episode 2, people. Get excited.
Woohoo! I just thought maybe we would like to go start with some lighter topics since we were kind of talking about those kind of things beforehand.
Yeah, let's do it.
So?
Bam. Oh, that's me, I guess. She has the crazier topics. Well, do you remember Little Women, Mom?
Yeah.
That movie we saw? Well, we both really liked it. We thought, what's her name? What was her name? Greta. Greta did a really good job.
Yes.
Greta Wig? What's her name?
Greta Gerwig.
Greta Gerwig, y'all. Greta Gerwig. Well, so, apparently right now, I saw that there was an ad for it saying it's on DVD and streaming. It's like, well, who buys DVDs anymore? That's kind of weird, right, Mom? You don't even...
No, I mean, it makes sense to me.
Well, you don't buy DVDs.
Well, doesn't everybody have a DVD machine?
No, not anymore. Not even computers.
Well, you don't throw them out.
No, people throw them out. Like, during the quarantine, people are... So, I think, especially everyone who is past the millennial and older has DVDs that they've had from when they were little, right,
yes,
Mom?
Yes,
and a lot of them we keep because there's movies you can't stream. So I do have those movies, and I'm one of those people during this quarantine. Thankfully, my laptop's old. That's probably part of the sound issues, but it has a CD-DVD drive, so I could basically stream a DVD from my computer to the TV without a DVD player, and I did see during this quarantine, my friend posted a picture of his old DVD player with an inch of dust on it, because no one watches DVDs anymore.
Well, I totally disagree with that.
Who do you know who watches DVDs?
Well, I mean, I think that is what people rent at the libraries these days.
Well, you are true. People do rent. What's that? Redbox. People do the Redbox.
They do. Orla does, and I'm one of my Curves ladies. You know, she's always doing that. A lot of people
And this is coming from a lady who literally had, I think, 5 or 6 VHS players in the box because she was scared that they would stop making them. And we got a DVR. We got our DVR, and she would record some on DVR, and she would record some on VHS still for years. And she was...
And you know what? She was very happy about it because it was so much easier to use the VCR, which you could set the timer, zip, 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 click, 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 and you didn't have to fool with anybody. You didn't have to bring anybody in the house to help you with it. I mean, zip and push.
But then don't you think now their DVD's easier?
Yes, now that I've gotten used to
it. I mean, sorry, DVR.
You mean the thing in the
DVR.
Computer.
Well, Comcast.
Comcast. Yeah. Yes, well, now that I'm on it, we can actually tape more than 2 things at the same time. That's the best part.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And, of course, it costs a fortune, by the way.
Well, just
it's
so
really
you guys...
It's not on a senior's budget.
Okay, but just so you guys know, we literally have, now I'm counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cable boxes, people. 6 cable boxes. And right now, there's 3 of us that live here.
So, right, and anybody who comes in the house... They want to have the TV and whatnot, so we make that available.
Well, but that's, I'm just saying, so I think cable is really expensive, and that's why a lot of people just stream stuff, but we kind of are the extreme version, so I think it's definitely way, because I think each box costs an extra $20, $30-something dollars.
No, it isn't that,
What is it?
I don't know, but it's not that much.
Well, because I'm thinking we should get rid of the cable box in the guest room, for sure. Because who cares about our guests? They could stream something.
Well, I think it's nice. When you're at somebody else's house, you don't always want to be up there.
We haven't even had a guest room because my brother was living here, so we don't even need it.
Yes, and then he wanted even more cable in his room.
Yeah, but he was living here.
Yeah.
But now we don't have a... Well, we should downsize people.
Well, I'm sure this is not a topic that anybody is interested in at all, other than it's very expensive.
Well,
and
that
is my socializing.
Well, okay, so let's go back to Little Women, people. So, basically, in Little Women, there's this whole, it's called, like, the water bottle gate. There was one of those like reusable water bottles in one of the scenes. So everyone's kind of freaking out. And it's like, oh, find the water bottle. I didn't see it. Did you see it, Mom?
No.
Yeah, we didn't see it. But it's kind of like Game of Thrones had a Starbucks cup and like another, some other cup in it. Which that was a little more obvious because it was in this like weird scene there on a table. So I'm like, that's
funny.
So what
does that say? People do not have enough to do. They have to point that out. It's a fabulous movie. It got all these, you know, ratings and awards and whatnot. And people are worried about a water bottle.
I don't know.
Get over it.
I don't know if people were upset about
it.
But I think it was just funny. I think it was more about like, it's like, oh, it's kind of like, where's Waldo? But like, where's that water bottle? Like, can you believe it? It's funny. But it is, you know, but I'm hoping someone's job didn't get affected by it later on. Leaving that in.
I suppose that would be up to the set designer.
Yeah, true. Also, on lighter notes, you know, my favorite candidate who's no longer is Pete Buttigieg.
Yes, we all love him.
Well, so, all the gays found these really sexy photos of him with a beard, like a big beard, when he was in the army or whatever he was at, you know what I mean? And so, all of the gays were flooding social media, like, a few months ago with his, like, beard. Like, beard daddy, whatever they were calling him. He was super hot, right? And then, he, in quarantine, has grown his beard out, and there's all these other... Now the gay blogs are like, he listened to us. And then now, he just shaved his head.
What?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like a kind of military cut kind of thing. He looks
so
pretty
he's
good.
Not bald.
No, no. He, like, just shaved it, like, with a really tight fade. But still has the beard, so yeah, it's like hashtag like daddy.
You'd think they could, you know, find something else more appropriate because he's such a neat guy.
Yeah, but he's pretty too.
Well, yes, of course, I suppose, yes.
Yeah, well, I'm just thankful that he made it as far as he did because it
Me
kind
too.
Of. I honestly, right when he got nominated, like the week he got nominated, I was cooking in the kitchen and I saw on the news and I literally was like, I, like, laughed out loud to myself because I was like, this isn't real. Like, he has no chance. And, like, that, you know, I think it's just sad that that was where my head went. And I was like, oh, a gay person couldn't even come close to winning the
nomination.
And so I'm just thankful that he got as close as he did. Obviously, Joe Biden, I would prefer, I like woman as a VP, too. But if it wasn't a woman, I don't want my Pete as my VP.
Well, I love Pete, and he definitely should be in the cabinet because he's too smart to not be in the administration. But Amy Klobuchar, for sure, and
Stacey Abrams,
and
right?
Stacey Abrams, yeah. that's my go-to girl. Oh, I want her so badly.
Also, Pete's like 2 years older than me, and I'm like, what have I done with my life? This guy has gone to war for us. Wasn't he a mayor, right? Was he the mayor? He's been a mayor. He then came out as a mayor and still got reelected. Then he did all this stuff. I mean, he speaks 1,000 languages. I barely know 2.
Well, he's a pianist.
Yeah, he's basically some... Oh, man, I would marry him in a heartbeat. That's the saddest part, is that he's married. His husband is...
What does his husband do, Justin? Do we know?
I don't know. We could look that up later, but... I mean, they make a cute couple, I wish that Pete was single and wanted to marry me. I mean, also, you never know. Some gays are open. I'm not into open relationships, people, but maybe for Pete Buttigieg. A throuple. We could have a throuple like in Tiger King, but without meth and teeth. With lots of teeth.
Well, Pete does have good teeth, too.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Oh, he's so cute. Sweet man.
Yeah. Well, and then something also really nice that you brought up was Bindi Irwin got married.
Bindi got married, so it was Bindi.
And her now husband is so cute, and he's American. It's nice. Well, I mean, I guess the mom's American, too.
Bindi is 21, and Chandler is 23, and they had a wedding planned for April 4th. They had to cancel, but fortunately, since they live inside the zoo, it was just their mother and their dad's friend, and then the brother.
Yeah.
And, of course, they were surrounded by real animals, and this little, big giraffe just would not let them loose, and they wrote their own vows, and so it was lovely, even though it was just, you know, the four or five of them and a lot of...
Yeah. Well, I'm usually not a proponent of, like, very young people getting married. I prefer, if you are into each other, like, a long engagement. But I feel like they're so sweet.
Why would that bother you?
I'm not bothered by it, but I feel like when you get married too young, sometimes it just doesn't work out. You know, they haven't experienced life separately enough, but I'm into it. I think they're going to last forever. I believe in love. And okay, you know, speaking of their family, I know I feel like such a creep sometimes because the little brother goes on like late night talk shows, you know, kind of does what his dad did and brings out cool animals and talks about them. And he's super cute and he's like 12, well, he's not 12, he's probably like 16 now or maybe he's a little older now, but we could Google it. I'll Google it later. But it does make me feel like a pervert because he's like, when he's on these talk shows, I'm like, oh, he's so cute. And he's like 15. It's pretty creepy.
Well, I would say you have other things to worry about. I mean, really? You're worried about that?
Yeah, I just want to be a pervert.
Yeah, well, please don't. I raised you better.
And then I know you wanted to talk about, we just watched a movie called Crip Camp on Netflix. It was, two of the executive producers are Barack and Michelle Obama, so obviously it had to be pretty good. It basically is this camp, well, it technically started in the 50s, but they had all of the video starting from, like, 72, 73, sometime in there, and it was this camp where...
The original camp, the name is Camp J-E-N-E-D.
Jened. Yeah, they said it weirdly, though. It was kind of Janaid or something.
But it was a real camp.
Yeah, it was for people with disabilities. And they talked about in the 50s and 60s, it was a little bit more prim and proper of a camp. But then, you know, 70s, it got kind of ran by all these hippy-dippy people. And so it was, like, the sweetest portrayal of, like, these people. Especially back then, a lot of the disabled people were put into either homes or they weren't. Being able to be in normal classes with people, or they were institutionalized. So it's kind of nice that they were able to like go to this camp and kind of just be normal teenagers. But then it kind of talks about, Mom, can you talk about it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to like, it's your...
Well, the thing is that it was a real camp, and fortunately they started filming very early. And when the hippies took it over, they didn't know anything. They brought all these disabled, and they were from probably maybe 15 to maybe 25 years old, all kinds of different disabilities. And basically, the camp was just a couple of buildings. I mean, they weren't set up for anything. They're basically out in the field, and they're trying to push wheelchairs along and walkers, and people were dragging themselves along on crutches. And, but they were just happy. They felt like they were at Woodstock because it was like, wow.
And then they could just be themselves.
We could be, even though they didn't know what they were doing for food. People didn't care. They were together. They were being respected. And they could talk. And
also, a really funny scene in the beginning is that they had an outbreak of crabs. Well, and it was great. And then also, there's a couple really cool characters that you saw them being interviewed today, and they would talk about their first kind of sexual experiences. And, like, this one guy was like, and then he was talking about when he was at camp, he was like, he was like, it was the first time someone's hand was on my cock. It felt great. And then this one woman, this really cute woman, who had cerebral palsy when she was, I think she probably was in her mid-20s.
Yeah.
She said she had an affair with her bus driver.
The bus driver.
And apparently, this is messed up. She went to the hospital because she had excruciating pain in her abdomen. So the doctor decided to take out her perfectly healthy appendix. Guess what it was? gonorrhea. And they, and then, so she was talking about how...
Well, they didn't know about safe sex in those days.
Well, but she, but I think as a, she was saying that the doctors assumed she's not sexually active. So they didn't even think about an STD, STI. So I think, so this documentary was more just, not just about making them, like, happy in this camp, but it goes beyond that. Because then it talks about their, like, civil rights and goes into, like, the 80s and early 90s of their protesting and, like... Because, like, right now, like, I don't think about... There's all these handicap spots and everything's wheelchair accessible and all the sidewalks are, but they weren't
but
like that.
But it took them years. So the original group from the first time we see the movie, there's this core group that sticks together all these years. And especially Judy. You know, Judy is kind of running the show here. And I think she had polio. So she was always in a wheelchair, but... completely with the program and able to gather people, and they did marches, you know, in wheelchairs.
And a hunger strike.
Hunger strikes. Oh, and for 23 days they sat. It was the, oh gosh, who the heck was
the Black Panthers came and gave them food so they could actually like...
stay. They were doing a sit down in a building, and they came in and tried to help them with food and you know, give them, it was really fantastic.
Well, and also it was interesting because, like, one of the people with cerebral palsy was saying that there's a hierarchy of disabilities. So, like, polio people were, like, top of the food chain because they were the normal-looking ones and their speech wasn't impacted and they had more mobility. And then cerebral palsy was, like, on the bottom. And then... it was really cute. There, two of the people who had cerebral palsy ended up like falling in love and getting married. And then the guys, he was saying his mom, when he said, "Oh, I'm dating this girl with cerebral palsy," his mom was like, "Oh, can't you date someone polio?" It was so sad, but like, but it's, you don't think about like even within that community that there are hierarchies of disabilities.
Yes, and there was one fella, and I'm trying to think, it wasn't Jim, was it Jerry? Jerry was the one was the only one out of the whole group that was able to go to a normal school.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, of course, he had to be in the basement. Yeah, and the other children of the school could come down and
visit. No, I don't think that was him, no. Yeah, so Jerry went to a normal school and had normal classes, but there was somebody else that got to go to school, and she was in special ed and was in the basement.
Maybe so, yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about, this was not that long ago, where they were not given any education, and if they did, it was really crappy.
Yeah.
It was sad,
but... Jerry was the one who finally, eventually got that job with the theater.
Yeah.
And he was a sound guy, an electrician, whatever they called those people. But of course, there was no elevators or anything, so he would have to crawl using his arms because his legs never worked all the way up.
And yeah.
And then he'd have to swing the microphone down over this balcony kind of a thing. But he worked there for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and then also he was saying, I think because he was really young when he went to camp, he was 15. So then he ended up going to college in California, but then there was all these protests.
Oh, yeah.
And so then he said, well, I'm going to this protest this one day. Or no, he was in high school at the time. And he took the train and then got off, you know, in the middle of Manhattan. And there was no elevators, no nothing. No, he had no friends with him. And he literally had to take his wheelchair and haul up behind him while he, like...
Drug himself
up the stairs. He's like, I'm going to this protest. It was cool. I feel like this documentary had a lot of, like... really sweet, sweet moments, yes. But then also
sad,
but then educational. I mean, it had everything. This is like a upscale version. Like if you want to watch something in documentaries compared to like the Tiger King.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Good job, Obamas.
Really? Yeah, it was wonderful. I highly recommend it, but it is about, I think it's about an hour and a half long. It's very detailed, but the camera work starts when they're young. And then follows them back when they're older, and you see, you know, how they protest. And it was George H.W. Bush that signed the legislation for them to have bathrooms And yeah, bathrooms. Parking spots, yeah. Bathrooms, and I forget what else. And that was, it was a big, huge deal.
Then the main character that you talked about, Judy, like, after that kind of passed, there was this video of her talking about, you know, she's kind of crying about it, but then she's like, I'm tired of feeling thankful that I could actually have a bathroom anywhere that I need to go to the bathroom. She's like, I shouldn't be thankful for that. You know what I mean? I thought that was pretty heavy. Yeah.
She was the kind of the guy in charge of all those people.
She wore the pants.
She did.
It was a good documentary.
So we highly recommend it.
It had all the feels.
It was on Netflix. Did you say that?
It was on Netflix, yeah. Did you want to hear about the craziest thing that had ever happened to me, Mom?
Well.
Date-wise.
Yes, I do. And how old were you and where were you?
This was like 3 months ago, maybe.
Oh, correct.
So, old.
You said that I didn't.
So, I was going to meet this guy on his boat, right?
Oh, nice.
And so.
Did he have clothes on?
Well, yes. So. But because he had to meet me at the gate to go on the dock.
In, yeah.
So I parked it where he told me to. And he's like, okay, meet at this gate. I'll come and let you in. Cool. And I'm waiting there. And it's cold, right? It's kind of like 6 p.m. It's basically wintertime. It's cold, people. I'm waiting there. And I do not like late people, right? I do not like it. And it's cold, right? So I'm already kind of like, ugh, this is annoying. He comes up to the gate. And he opens the gate with his right hand, and he's kind of being weird. And even that split second, I'm like, oh, maybe he has a boyfriend he didn't talk about. Maybe he can't have me over. Like, maybe he's just socially awkward.
So
like, I don't know.
Vibe right off the bat.
Yeah, like a weird. It's a weird vibe. Like instantaneously, and then he's kind of like saying some weird stuff, and then all of a sudden he's like, so I just broke my arm, and I have to go to the hospital. And I was like, what?
Right this minute?
Yeah, and I look. So he had a t-shirt on, right? And I look at his other arm, and his elbow is just dangling. Like, his arm, there's no blood, there's no bones, but his arm is messed up, people. It is just dangling there. Like, it's...
Well, why didn't you call 911?
Okay, well, this just happened, and I was like, I'll take you to the hospital right now. I'll take you to the hospital. Let's go. And he's like, no, you should just go. You should go. I have neighbors here. I'll call some friends. And I was like, dude, no, like, I could take you right now to the hospital. Like, let's go. He's like, no. And I literally had to beg him to, like, let me help him. And then he was like, okay, how about you come with me back to my boat and then make sure that I get to my neighbors and I could get on my way and then you could leave. I was like, okay, cool. Like, but, like, let's hurry this up. Also, like, you just messed up your arm. So we go to his boat. So, he goes to his neighbors, right, that he was going to get help with. They're not there. They're not home. Then we discover, while he fell, getting off the boat, his phone fell in the water, in the lake. It fell in the lake. No contacts, because, you know, who knows numbers anymore? Oh, get this. His ID was on his phone. Like, you know, they have, like, the wallet ID cases, whatever? No ID, no cell phone. Neighbors are a no-go. And then I was like, okay, do you have a computer? Like, let's go to the hospital now, but bring your computer. So there's Facebook, there's email. Like, get your charger too, right? Do you have any other form of ID? Oh, I have a passport. Okay, get it. Do you have your insurance card? Yeah, okay, get it. But he's being frantic because he's in shock. But he keeps, like, fumbling around and doing... And he made me look for his phone, like, 1,000 times, which is totally fine. But I'm, like, thinking, like, your phone's a goner because I kept calling it. He said, can you keep calling it? It would go to voicemail. I'm like, okay, dude, I called it like 3 times. It's going to voicemail. I took a flashlight out, looked everywhere. It doesn't exist. We need to go to the hospital. Let's go. And he's like, no. And like, so finally he asked me to like reach out to one of his friends on Facebook. So then I was like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, of course, this guy that he had me reach out on Facebook, I literally met him the weekend before at Gay Pride in Whistler. Like, well, we don't, like, I don't know him very well. Like, it was a group me, like, we were all out, like, at an après-ski, and we're all drinking and, like, dancing, and so, like, I kind of met him through friends, like, so I don't know him, but I'm like, oh, God, so I'm, like, messaging him on Facebook, and calling him on Facebook, and I'm like, dude, your friend is hurt, like, can you respond, and he finally called me back, he gave me some other people's numbers, and then he gave one of his best friends.
Well, thank God the guy wasn't bleeding.
Oh, I know, but then others, oh, my God, and so I'm trying to get out of there. I'm trying to help him. I'm like, we gotta go to the hospital. I'm like, do you have a hoodie? Like, where are your keys? His shoes were, his feet were wet because it fell. His feet fell in the water when he fell. Oh, it was just so sad. And then I was like, where's your shoes? Let's get some new socks. I had to put his shoes and socks on. Oh. I had to help him with his hoodie. Like, well, we kind of draped it over him. And I'm like, he had a backpack. I'm like, okay. And then, oh, his glasses were all fucked up too. It was like, he kind of, he hit his head, and, well, mommy should laugh, and then he hit his head, and his, like, hat fell off, and his glasses got all, like, messed up. It was just like, seriously, what could not happen to this guy in this, like, 2 second span? And so then I get him finally in the car, we're gonna go to a hospital downtown. And so then his friend, right when we got in the car, his friend called, a different friend called me, and it was on speakerphone, and then he's like, oh, are you going to the Ballard ER? And I was like, no, we're going up, you know, up to the
Harborview.
And he was like, or then I was like, well, to the dude, I was like, hey, well, if you want, like, I could take you to the Ballard emergency room, because I live in Ballard, it's not a big deal, and your friend's good, like, lives there. He's like, okay, let's go there. So we get there, just me and him, and he's, while we're driving, I was like, oh, what music do you want? What music? Like, I'm thinking, like, music soothes people. I don't want any music. I don't want any music. Can we just talk? And then he's, like, asking me random questions. I'm like, whatever. I don't care. And then he keeps saying, like, repeatedly, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, dude, this is, I'm okay. Like, I do not mind helping you out. This isn't, I don't have a broken arm. Like, I'm trying, do not apologize. Like, let's just get there. But like, it was really weird. He was very adamant. He did not want music, which I'm like, cool, man, whatever. So we get there. Right when we get there, he's like, starting to feel it more, right? The adrenaline.
Is he going to go into shock?
No, but like, he started feeling it. And then, you know, that they ask you a couple questions of when you check in, and he's kind of being really curt with the lady, which makes me very upset. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, I get it, because you're in pain. But, you know, it's, you know, I do not like to see people being rude to people, but I get the circumstances. She's like, there's no beds, but, like, go in the waiting room. We'll probably, what we'll do is we'll check you in, like, we'll, like, really check you in while the room's getting ready, so then you don't have to deal with that, and then we'll get you, like, on the list for an x-ray so we can get the ball rolling. So we go in the waiting room, we're fine. Then we get called back pretty quickly, where then this woman just does, like, you know, the normal questions you ask. And then that's when he's starting to feel some more pain, too. And he's being really kind of rude to her. And I was like, and then I'm trying to, like, distract him, too. And, oh, my mom and I, the day before, we went to go see a live version of Steel Magnolias. And I was like, if you need to hit me, I'm Weeza from Steel Magnolias. Hit me! Hit me! Feel better! And, like, I don't think he really appreciated me saying, like, I'm Weeza!
Weezer! Weezer! It was
Weezer! Well, I know, I'm trying to do, like, the New England accent that they have over there, or whatever. Anyway, or Southern, the Southern accent, people. Weezer! I'm Weezer! Anyway, and then, but then he's like, so he's still kind of being a dick to the lady.
So does he know what you're doing?
He got it, but I think he didn't think it was that funny. But then, he says, he keeps talking about his cell phone, right? Not about the cost of it. Not about contacts. He took some pictures. Okay, first of all, he lives on a boat, and he goes boating, like, every weekend. He takes a lot of freaking pictures of ocean and whatever, and he's talking about some whale or orca he took a picture of, like, this weekend, or, like, this week. And I was like, I don't think it matters that you don't have a couple pictures. Like, I'm like, I don't think that really matters. I'm trying to make him feel better, and he's like, let me be upset at what I want to be upset about! I was like, you got it. Okay, fuck those pictures. Well, and then, so I think, yeah, I think I said something about backing it up. He's like, I don't know if I backed it up or something. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then then he started feeling faint, right? And he was, like, feeling woozy. And then he had me fan him because he was feeling woozy. So I got a magazine from his backpack, and I'm, like, literally fanning him, just being like, oh, my God. He's so...
Now, he's in a room at this point.
Well, we're talking to the lady, just getting him checked in, and he's like, can you help me with pain to the lady? And she's like, I can't give you anything. Yeah. Weird. This is just, like, a checking kind of thing. So I'm just, like, fanning him off, and he's literally, like, ah, ah, and, like, kind of, like, falling a little bit on the chair, and, like, and so she's, like, basically, she's kind of, like, then she does her thing, then she's, like, okay, you gotta go back into the waiting room. So then I take him to the waiting room, and thankfully his friend's there.
Oh, thank God.
And then he seemed a little less woozy and pretty normal when we got out to the waiting room again, and then I had a list of numbers from the original friend, but the other friend has numbers, but I was like, okay, here's a list of numbers from your friends. Here's your glasses. Here's your laptop. Here's your charger. I put your magazine back. Like, okay, do you guys want anything else? I could go get you food. Like, do you need something? He's like, no, 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 it's okay. He's like, thanks a lot. And so then I went back home, and then Liz was up, and I was like, Liz, I had to tell you this. And I literally, like, had to tell her this story, because this, I mean, you cannot make it up.
And you didn't think to tell me because I wouldn't be interested or what?
I don't know. It was just a weird story. Yeah, well, now you know.
Well, yeah, if we weren't doing this, I wouldn't have known. And then we sat there during intermission at Steel Magnolias and you...
No, that was still... No, we watched... That was Steel Magnolias we watched on Saturday and I saw him Sunday night.
Oh, I see.
That's why Steel Magnolias was in my head and I was like, I'm Weezer! Hit me! Hit me! Or, and then I was like, and then he said, no, it's Amanda. I'm like, well, I can hit you. It might make you feel better, you know, because you're not thinking about your arm. I could just slap you. He did not like that.
Did he ever contact you to say thank you for
all that? Yeah. Well, so we were in contact via his friend's phone. His friend and him texted me that night and kind of were giving me updates. Then, well, get this. He actually didn't break his arm, which was actually worse, he said. So he dislocated his
shoulder.
No, not his shoulder. Shoulders are easy because you could pop it back in. It kind of heals. When you dislocate your elbow, apparently there's so many tendons and I don't know, whatever's going on in there. It was 6 to 8 weeks of healing, which I don't think you're even still 100% after that. But so he, because I asked him, like, oh, did you, what happened? Was it a break? And he's like, no, he said it would have been better if it was a break because it would just heal, done, whatever. But, no, and then we've texted a few times. And then during this quarantine, because he's on his boat and he was texting me some videos of him on the boat. He's super nice, but I wasn't necessarily attracted to him and as like a, future date boyfriend husband material, so I feel like, you know, friend zoned him, but like the thing is it would have been a really good story if I was into him and we ended up being together, because like, could you imagine at our wedding saying this story? Wouldn't that be hilarious? You guys, like, this is how we met. But that is not a fairy tale, so no, back to the drawing board.
I'm glad you survived.
Yeah,
and
well,
you were always nice. That was
yeah. So well, good. Of course. I mean, I'm not gonna not like help this guy out. And I think he kept. I don't know if people are just like think about as like humanity and don't think people are like good or I don't know like helping people. But he kept thanking me and how embarrassed he was for it. I was like, what are you talking about? And it was probably like less than 2 hours of my life. To help somebody. And
well,
I'm not going to be like, oh, you just broke your arm. I will say in the split second, he gave me a couple outs like right away. He was like, no, 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 just go. I'm going to go talk to my neighbors. And at that split second when he said that, I was like, thank God I could go. Because like, you know, you still have to deal with it. But then I was like, no, 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 no. Like, that's not cool. Like, and I'm really glad that I spoke up. Because then he couldn't even get in contact with me because he had no phone. So, and we didn't even have each other's numbers because it was on like, an app, and then it was like, but now, I mean, we have each other's numbers, so now I'm sure once the quarantine's done, we'll have a drink.
If, you know, we get out of this quarantine and it's summertime, he can take you for a boat ride.
Yeah, I hope so. Hopefully we'll be friends. I think this is a good story, so.
Yeah, well, I think that was nice of you to do all that, because you're a good person, honey, because I raised you right.
Yeah, exactly. I know, that's what I always think about shitty people. I'm like, they did not have a good upbringing.
True. Well, and some people just are not nice.
That is true.
In the real world.
Yeah, my dad always said, just be nice.
Yeah.
That's all he said. That's it. He said that to I've even like when we were being nice, he's like, just be nice.
Yeah.
Like what? Like, okay.
Yeah. And he always said to me, just let it run off your back. Just let it run off your back. You know, any little thing was going on or people are screwing him over, which they did constantly, taking advantage of him.
Yeah.
He really got taken advantage of. But I think that he didn't mind. I think I minded a lot more than he did.
Well, yeah, because I think you mind more when it's other people that you love getting taken advantage of as opposed to yourself. But I'm glad Dad did teach me that because I don't care if some, you know, if someone does you wrong or whatever, it's like you should be angry and you should like make sure that you get out of that situation or you let them know or, you know, but then, you know, there's emotions that go into it. But then once I kind of like think about it and like get angry and like maybe vent to a friend or whoever, then I get over it. That's, I think, a lot of people. And also, I have a, both my mom and I have really bad memories, right, Mom?
True. For, definitely for statistics.
Yeah, we can't regurgitate facts. So this podcast, you're going to not know anything about anything. Google it yourself, people. Yeah. So I do think, though, the reason, I think the reason part of us being happy is that we have bad memories. So that, I mean, honestly, because you don't remember, you also don't remember the bad times. Like for me.
Oh, I remember some bad
times. Okay, well,
times. I don't. Isn't that I don't get over it. I just don't choose to live my life that way. It's
but
it's up to me
yeah.
how I handle what comes at you.
True, but I think, for example, like middle school was not a good time for a gay kid in the 90s.
Not.
And, or any, well, any time before that, even now. And there, I think that was like my worst time of my life was my middle school days.
Well, you had some bizarre teachers.
Well, beyond that, the kids were assholes. That's why I didn't go to high school where they all went. You know, I basically grew up with a bunch of rich, white assholes. And they were not fun to be around, especially when you're, like, the gay kid of the school. So, what was I talking about? Oh, memory. See? I don't even have a good memory. I can't even talk about shit. Anyway, so my memory, so all those memories, honestly, is very, very cloudy. So I don't relive that, right? Because I'm like, I don't know, whatever. Like, I'm over it, right? Cause, so I don't have to, like, I think people with super, super good memories, they rehash the past a lot because it's so vivid for them where I'm like, what happened? I honestly don't remember a friend I had 2 years ago. I don't remember a lot of things. So if I see you on the street, a lot of times I just pretend I know you. Sorry.
Well, when I see people, I remember them. I just don't remember their names.
Oh, yeah, I'm really bad at names.
And I can meet you in 5 minutes, turn around, do something, go, oh, that person's name, oh, my God.
Well, you know, I always feel bad about names because I have a unique name, Leif, people, just FYI. And
spell it for them.
L-E-I-F. And, you know, it's not a hard name, but it's hard because it's not common, right? So I give people a lot of passes. Unless we're friends, it's like, girl, get my name right. I've known you for 5 months, you know, and my name's one syllable. It's like the clap, Leif, like one syllable, people. So
like the clap.
Like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I meant like, you know, when you're learning syllables when you're little and you clap, you're like hippopotamus. Like that's how many syllables. So it's like Leif. Anyways. My name's one syllable, right? And so you think, like, it would be easier for people, but it's not. Trust me.
Well, it's a more common name nowadays. Than
We had one pop star in the 70s who's now a drug addict.
Yeah.
But that's the only... Leif Erikson, which the... A, Christopher Columbus has taught way more about Leif than Leif Erikson in classrooms. But teachers pronounce him Leif, Leif, Leif. So then people think, when they see my name, they think Leif. Because they had American teachers talk about Leif Erikson. Anyway, so I always feel bad when there's people that I meet that have unique names that I don't remember or I cannot pronounce. And I just feel so bad because I'm like, I should put more effort into knowing it. But my memory is so bad. So then all of a sudden I'm like, what was their name? And then I say it wrong. Oh, man. Or you know, like there's like Kirsten, Kristen, Kristen. I'm like, what? Or also if there's like a common name, but it's spelled differently. Like, I don't get that. Do you get that?
I don't get it either.
It's just crazy.
I know.
It's
but
like,
you know, all we can do is the best. Just do the best you can.
I know.
Of course, at my age now, what's great, it's so great because I can say, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. Can you tell me? That's what I do nowadays. I just blurt it out like that. And,
yeah, but I'm so young. I'm just so young, people expect me to have good memory.
Well, you can still do that because it honors them. Say, I remember you. It's telling you I remember you.
No, I do ask people, like, oh, well, sorry, what's your name again? In the right circumstance, like if I know that I've only really truly met them once. But if it's someone that I've met repeatedly, I don't want to be that person to be like, wait, I don't remember you. You know, because it's kind of rude if you're like, oh, you're unmemorable.
I'm thinking about my drinking days. I never remember anything, so I'm doing pretty good these days.
That's
in comparison.
Good.
Well, I had blackouts for, you know, I really drank for 10 years.
Well, that's
years.
Probably where I got it. Because when
oh, right. Blame the fact that I'm an alcoholic.
No, well, no, I'm saying
and
like...
your memory. How
not memory. I'm talking about drinking. So, like, I was a binge drinker in college. Like, who wasn't? And I blacked out a lot. And even if I didn't even drink a lot, like, I would black out. I'm like, what happened? Or brown out, too. Like, I would have a lot of, like, holes in my memory. Browning out means, like, you're not... You black out chunks of the night. So blackout means it's gone. It's over. That whole chunk, you edited it out. Boom. But brownout means it's like, you remember
spotty.
Like, yeah,
spotty.
Yeah, so. But I would brown out a lot, I guess, too.
Well, I was totally a blackout.
Yeah, it depends on the night. But even if I drank a little bit, but if I drank it too fast for like that little bit, sometimes my brain, my memory's like, haha, you don't remember anything. So that's why I stopped drinking a lot.
The brain is kind. We say this in
AA. Yeah, it heals.
But the brain is kind. Sometimes you don't really want to ever know those memories.
True.
That's how I feel about that. I don't want to go back and try to recreate any of it or think about it. It is what it is, and I just have to be the best person that I can be now.
Yeah.
And be a good example for my children and my friends and family, because I realize as an alcoholic, your behavior affects everybody around you.
Yeah.
Whether they're good friends or family or a coworker or whatever it is, which you can't see.
Yeah.
When you're in the midst of it all.
Well, I'm thankful that one day I kind of woke up. I think I was like 26, 27. And I think I had like, you know, crazy night of drinking and whatever. And then I woke up and I was like, wait, this is not fun. Like, I'm spending a lot of money. I'm putting myself in bad situations. You know, I black out. So I'm not even remembering my fun times I'm having. So I'm like, what? And then, and at that point, I was a little older, so I'm hungover. So I'm like, wait, I don't feel good. I pretty much lose a full day because you're not productive. I'm spending all this money. Like, I don't even remember going out the night before, basically. I'm like, this is not fun. So, thankfully, I kind of put the kibosh on that, and I don't have a drinking problem, but I still drink, but it's very, like, 2 drinks, maybe 3, 4 if I'm going crazy, but I do not like to get drunk, and now, I think now it's a control issue for me. Once I start getting a little bit buzzed, I'm like, okay, I gotta, like, stick it, like, drink some water, or just, like, stay that buzz. But once it starts getting a little more than buzzed, I feel like I'm out of control. So I don't like feeling that way anymore. So I actually don't like to drink a lot. Like, I drink, so I'm a real social person, and I think social things in society, we eat, drink coffee, and drink booze. Like, that's kind of like a lot. Not that you have to, but that's kind of is society, and it's common.
For young people.
Yeah, and I actually do like a cocktail or two, or like, I don't drink beer and wine anymore, sadly, because of I have yeast issues, people, in my stomach.
And you can't blame that on mom.
No, that's genetic. So, thanks, mom. And
remember, we're not going to talk about this anymore.
Well, if it comes up, it comes up. But, well, so anyway, so like, I do enjoy a cocktail or two, but like, in control and like, So I'm very thankful that I was able to kind of realize what I was doing. Cause I think in America, I think in the world, alcoholism is very encouraged and it's,
what do you mean encouraged?
Like peer pressure, like take a shot, drink with me, let's have more drinks. Like, and then because it's social, I mean like there's a bar at every corner, you know, people like, let's have a good time. Like drink with me. Why aren't you drinking with me? Why aren't you having another shot? Like have another shot. I think we just kind of get into these group mentalities, especially when you're young. And so like, when I was in college, I mean, I drank heavy, like four, five, six nights a week, depending on the week. And it was just, then when you, those are pivotal moments in your life when you're like learning how to become an adult and like becoming yourself. And then every experience you have going out and having fun is when you're hammered. So you associate like, oh, I'm only fun or having fun when I'm wasted. That's what we have to do. We got to get wasted. And I kind of then kept going.
Hasn't that always been the case for college kids?
Well, no, I think
so.
But
even in my day.
Totally. But I think then you associate, oh, I'm only having fun if I'm really drunk, or like, we got to get drunk now. Like, it's a Friday night. Why aren't we getting wasted? And that wasn't just that. Finally, one day I was like, wait, this is not fun. Like, so I'm like the early bird. Like, so I go out with my friends. I'll go, like, let's get dinner. Let's hang out, chit chat. Then let's go a couple bars. Go out, get a drink here. And by 11 p.m., I'm like, I start saying my goodbyes. I'm like, I gotta go because I want to be able to get home. I want to shower. I want to get in my own bed. And I want to get to bed at a decent time so I can actually get good sleep. So I'm always that early bird, like, I gotta go. And because nothing good happens past midnight. Nothing. Right, Mom?
I think you're right.
Yeah. And
good thinking.
Yeah, nothing good happens past midnight. The only exception is I love top 40 pop music. And they put on these, like, dance parties with mashups of top 40 pop. So, and a lot of times there'll be a theme, right? They did, like, they'll do an ABBA. They'll do, like, a Britney. They'll do, like...
You mean on the radio?
No, but like a dance club, but with like, you know, like a club, like you go dancing.
You mean you're at a dance club and
it's like a theme night with like pop music. Yeah. So those nights I'll actually stay out till like 1 a.m., which is crazy, but it's, I'm dancing a lot. So I actually think it's like a good workout.
Whatever you say, I wouldn't know since I go to bed at 8 o'clock.
True. There's a show also in England, they love being nude, which is funny because you wouldn't think so because we like
you don't associate with,
but I think because they're still European
talking about teeth.
but they're, well, because they're European, so I don't think they have the weird issues with nudity that we have. But there's a show, it's called, I don't remember actually what it's called, but they, it's a dating show and you see them naked and you're like talking to them and you pick them,
what,
like you pick them as a naked people. There's a couple different shows like that out there. I think there's one that you go on the beach and like it's kind of Survivor-esque, but not really. But anyway, but it's sad because what I see is like they put like blur, they blur out the privates and stuff, which is just really sad. I want to see what's going on. I'm like, we're just prudes in America. We're prudes. Naked and Afraid is a show, but there's another, there's like a dating show version. So there's a lot of shows with naked people, but the sad thing is the ones we do get in the US, they always blur it out. I want to see what people are working with.
Like, well, I say to each his own, and I would not watch that.
Well, but also
blurred,
like,
or not blurred.
Yeah, but every, like, you know, like they say, like, if you see one dick, you've seen them all. It's not true, people. I like to know everyone.
Well, I can attest to that. I've had three husbands.
They're different, right? They're all different, huh?
Yes, they are.
Who was bigger? Well, I remember my dad would joke about how he had a big penis or whatever. I was like, okay, Dad, whatever. I mean, I've seen my dad's penis multiple times.
Well, who hasn't?
Yeah. Actually, so my dad is uncut, and of course, my brother and I are cut, right? So I actually...
I don't know anything about your brother.
Well, yeah, so... But he is cut. But this is what makes me very upset, because I think I was mutilated.
Oh, my God in heaven.
It's true. So, before, I was...
Maybe you could find a plastic surgeon.
No, it's too late. Well, maybe he is uncut. That'd be a good date. But anyway, so, I feel like I wish I had my foreskin. It should have been my choice if I wanted my foreskin.
Oh, yeah. At age 3 months, you're going to get a choice.
No, but I should have had a choice as an adult. You should say, hey, if you want a circumcision at like 9, 10, 11... you could do it. I mean, obviously, I would say no. But the thing is, it is crazy because there was a doctor. The reason it got popularized in America is not about religion. It's because he didn't want boys to masturbate.
What? I thought it was all about cleanliness.
Well, I think that part of it was about that, because back then, I think, you know, maybe people didn't talk about cleaning your foreskin or whatever. So this goes back. This is
back
going
any days. There was nothing about
that. You just teach your little, you teach your kid to clean their dick. It's not that difficult. You just clean it in the shower. Anyway, so I am very upset that I do not have my foreskin, people. But that is a whole other topic.
And nobody cares.
But I did ask because at the last year of my dad's life, I remember I had to ask him, like, Dad, are you cleaning your foreskin? Because I didn't think about it. And he's like, yeah. Like, whatever. I clean my dick. I'm like, okay, cool, Dad. But really towards the end, though, I actually had to, like, clean inside my dad's foreskin. And it was...
And does anybody really need to know that?
But I'm just saying, like...
Privacy, people, privacy.
We need to teach our kids who have uncut penises to clean them.
And that was your PSA.
Yeah. But I also don't believe in circumcision, so don't circumcise your boys.
Well, I'm not going to be having any more children, so it's not going to be a topic or a thing that I'm ever going to lose any sleep about.
No. All right, people. It's been real. Say bye, Mom.
Sort of. Bye.
Bye.